Okay, today we're on Ayin Dalet. We're going to start three lines from the bottom at Ayin Gimel Amabet. We were talking about people who are believed for a particular situation. So we had the three people that are believed, and we're going to see, I didn't get to talk about this, it was the end of the shir, but there's an issue here if you noticed, it said, these people are believed immediately. That means if they testify, and we really noticed it in the last case with the three women sleeping in the bed, and there was blood in the bed, and then one immediately saw blood, so only if she immediately sees blood. So their testimony, and that's why, for example, a Dayan is not mentioned here, who's obviously trustworthy, and other situations, because there's other trustworthy people, but these people are trustworthy for a particular situation at that particular moment. Okay? We had the three people. There were the Asufi parents, a kid abandoned in the street. As long as no one's picked him up, in an immediate sense, someone's believed to say, I'm the parents. And we said it was only immediate and not later. The midwife also is believed to say, this is the Bechor, and this one came out first. But again, as long as she didn't turn around or go out of the room, there was that machloket. And then the three women who were in the bed, they're also believed in immediate way to be mitaher, the others who were besafek tuma. Now we're going to go three lines from the bottom. We're going to have some other ne'emanim. Ne'eman baal mekach, a store owner, sells something to somebody. And then what happens? Two people come and say, wait, I bought that. You know, what happened was, obviously, somebody bought it, but didn't take the object. So now comes somebody to take the object from the store owner, and the other guy says, hey, I paid the money for that. So, ne'eman baal mekach lomar, lezeh macharti, ulezeh e macharti. So he's believed to say, you're the one who I sold to and not that guy. Okay, but just like the other ones, it's going to depend on the timing of it, right? Think of a store owner. I'm surprised sometimes you go into a store and the person remembers you, right? But how much do they really remember that you were the one who bought a particular item? There's people who have exceptional memories, but most people don't. And they're going to remember you when, right? When, at what point? So let's think about it. Pamet varma marim, bizman shemikcho biyado. It's if he hasn't, right, he's still, if someone paid him the money and he knows he hasn't given them the object yet, he'll remember still because he has a certain capacity for memory in his brain. So he's going to keep in mind, okay, I know I owe this person this necklace that they purchased for me. So when they come in, I'll give it to them. Aval ein mikcho biyado, ein ne'eman. Okay, so here actually they're saying a little differently, I realized. It's not mikcho biyado that he hasn't yet given it to him, it's that the item is still in his hand. But once, it's actually not what I said, I'm correcting myself. If it's no longer in his hands, he's not going to necessarily remember who gave him the money for it and who didn't. So then they say, well, what do you mean? Why don't we just figure out, right? He only got money from one of them. So, you know, the assumption is if he only got money from one of them, he should remember who he got the money from. Okay? It should be reasonable. So then they say, Lo tzricha dinakat mitrafayu. It's really the both of them gave him the money. Va'amar chab midatai v'chab baal korche v'lo yedia hey midato v'hey lo midato. It's a case where the guy had an object to sell, and he agreed with one guy that he would pay him, but the other guy insisted on buying it also and gave him the money. So if he had only received money from one person, then we could say it's obvious who paid him the money. He'd remember that. But if he received money from both people, one against his wishes and one for his, you know, that he was willing to sell it to, and he didn't yet give the object over, then we were worried that he might confuse and we won't trust him in that situation.
You'd think a situation like that would be unusual enough that he'd be more likely to...
It could be, right, that you have two people who gave him money for the same thing.
Clearly.
Yeah, could be. Anyway, now we're going to see a similar situation with a Dayan. Ne'eman Dayan Lomar, lezeh zachiti ulezeh chiyavti. Okay, if there's a case between two people, and nobody remembers what the psak din was, okay, seemingly strange situation. So we'll see in a minute, like, what do you mean? Don't we write down the psak din, and doesn't somebody walk out with a written psak din, which is interesting. There's such a thing as a written psak din that someone would have in his hands. So what do we say here? He's the man to say, you're the one I was mizakeh, and you're the one I was mechaya. Again, we're going to say, in what situation? Right? It's only when they're standing before you. But in other words, once time passes and they walk out of the court, he's no longer going to remember the details of every single case. Right? It's very real, this whole sugya, because you're in a situation, you remember it at that moment, but then they walk out and you're on to the next thing, and who can remember what was? Why don't we see who's got the ketav zchut in his hand? Okay, so what do you see? When somebody wins in a, we're assuming we're talking about a mamon case, a monetary case, so he ends up with a piece of paper that says, you're the winner. So, you know, you, not the winner, but, you know.
Judgments in your favor.
Right, judgments in your favor. So, lotzricha dekriya zchutayhu. Okay, so now they say, well, it could be a case where it got ripped somehow, right? You know, again, how could it have gotten ripped so quickly if, you know, maybe they were fighting about it? Could be, right? It could be they were fighting and it ripped. Okay, so now they have a great klal here, a great suggestion. V'nehadar v'nedayaninhu. So why don't we just redo the whole judgment, okay? Because if, right, presumably, and this is going to be the interesting part, if the judge ruled in this case, and he said, you're Zakai and you're Chayav, and now there's some confusion, it obviously must be that some time elapsed. So, because, right, we said, Ein Balei Dinim, oh, so the truth is right. Okay, let me go back, because we're saying he's only trustworthy when there's still Lefanav. So let's say time passes. The Zchut, you know, got ripped somehow, they were out in the rain, and it fell apart, or whatever it might be. They no longer have it. This is, let's say, a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, we don't know, and now they're fighting over it. So they say, so bring it back to court. Okay, and then he'll, obviously the judge is going to rule exactly the way he ruled the first time, and then we'll know what the truth was. So now they say, no, it could be b'shuda d'dayane. It could be a case, now what's shuda d'dayane? We've seen this before, where sometimes there's no, right, this Gemara assumes, which we all know to be the case, that there's no absolute truth. And sometimes it's not so clear cut which way it goes, and the judge uses his best judgment to rule in the case. Okay? So now, if he uses his best judgment, well, who's to say the next time when he rules, he might not rule the opposite? Because those kind of cases could kind of go either way. Now, this is obviously very frustrating from the other perspective to think about, what do you mean? My judgment could have gone the other way? We also know this nowadays, right? There's always appeals and things like that. Anyway, so that's the conclusion, and therefore they say that it is true that he's believed then, but he's not believed later. And that there's no other option to, you know, there wasn't any other way to know. You couldn't bring this chut, you couldn't be judged, okay? And presumably what they're trying to say, if it was a case where it was clear cut, then you would just reopen the case and then you'd know. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman. Shloshane emanim al habachur. There's three characters who are believed to say that the son is a bechor. Now this goes back, we saw the mialedet already, the midwife. Now we're going to see two others. And it's going to be interesting. I don't have perfect explanations for this, but you'll bear with me. Ve'eluhen, chaya avi v'imo. Okay, this seems pretty straightforward, right? The midwife, the father, and the mother. Okay, but now we're going to have time frames, and it's going to be very strange. Chaya la'alter. The midwife is believed immediately. And as once, we already discussed this, once she leaves the room, she's not going to remember which baby was which. Imo kol shiv'a. The woman is believed the first 7 days. Okay? Which is, okay, so first of all, first 7 days, for sure the mothers believe she's the main caretaker the first 7 days of life. Why after the seventh day she's no longer believed is crazy, right? It's hard to fathom. We're going to see, though, in a minute, Aviv le'olam. Now, most mafarshim understand the father takes over after the 7 days. What happens after 7 days? The brit milah. Once the brit milah happens, it's the father's jurisdiction. We're going to see a pasuk soon that's going to prove this. And therefore, it goes out of the mother's jurisdiction and into the father's jurisdiction. It's almost like we don't want to have too many people giving their say, so let's just make it simpler. The father's the one in charge and not the mother. But you can't say the mother's not in charge in the very beginning because she's the one there. And there was this, some of the Mepreshim say he's not believed in the first 7 days because there was tumah there, right? The first 7 days of a bechor, right, of a boy, forget a bechor. And here it's a bechor, which obviously means it's a boy. The first 7 days of a boy, the mother's tameh, right? For the girl, it's 14 days. So the father stayed away from there. You know, he didn't want to get anywhere near, and he didn't go near the baby the first 7 days, and therefore he couldn't possibly be believed. After that, now the question is, how could he be believed if he didn't know what happened then, right? So I guess the assumption is the mother would kind of tell him, and then he takes over the responsibility. Okay, very strange because, you know, we all know that after 7 days, the mother is still the primary caregiver. But anyway, strange that she wouldn't be believed. But again, in general, we don't accept women's testimony. So it could be that it's another thing about women's testimony, although often when there's Eirecha, we do accept women's testimony. So It's not 100% clear cut what's going on here. Some Mefarshim think that Aviv is Le'olam, meaning even when the baby's born, and that's from then forever, and that there's an overlap in the beginning that the father and the mother are both believed. I think it makes more sense to say the other way, because then it at least explains why the mother's only believed for 7 days, because she kind of passes it over to the father. Kiditanya, here's a braita to support this halacha. Yakir, okay, what's this pasuk? This is when we saw this pasuk a few days ago about when a man has two wives, and one he loves and one he doesn't love, and then ki et, okay, now I'm reading from the Torah Or in Dvarim Kaf Aleph Yud Zayin, it says ki et habachor ben hasnua yakir latelo pishnayim. If the hated wife, the one he didn't love, had the bachor, he has to yakir. There's this issue of hekerut. He's the one who determines. Okay, so they learn from here, he has to recognize. Okay, in that case, what it really is saying there, the pshat is, he has to recognize and not say, oh, I'd rather give my beloved wife, her first son, the before. Which, by the way, that whole pasuk is obviously a reference to Yaakov Avinu, who had two wives, and, you know, there was the debate about who was the before and who's the... So, and here it's telling you, you know, when it comes to... Maybe it's also to say, even though we know that Yosef kind of took certain things, right, and then Reuven certainly didn't get his Bechor that was given to him, but when it comes to property rights, you know, you can't do such a thing. The Bechor of the Snu'ah gets it. The oldest gets it. So now, what do? They take this pasuk out of context. They say, Yakir, Yikirenu la'achirim. He's the one who makes the determination. He, you know, what's the word? Identifies him to everybody else. Mikan Amar Rav Yehuda Ne'eman Adam Lomar Zebini Bechor U'Kashem Sh'Ne'eman Lomar. Okay, so now Rav Yehuda says like this. From here we can infer that Ne'eman Lomar Zebini Bechor. Sorry, this is not Rav Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda. We're still in the Braita. The Braita is saying from this pasuk you can learn that two halachot. Number one, he's Ne'eman to say this is the Bechor. U'Kashem Sh'Ne'eman Lomar Zebini Bechor. He can also testify about his children, which ones were the ones born from the inappropriate relationships. If he's a Kohen and he married a divorcee and they have a child, he's ne'eman to say about his own children who's what. The Chachamim omrim eino ne'eman. The Chachamim say he's not believed. So now the question is, what do Chachamim say is not believed? He's not believed just for the Ben Gushah Ben Chalutza, and they distinguish between both cases. Now, what could be a reason to distinguish? One is Dine Mamonot, and one is Dine Isor Veheter. So you could see that there might be a distinction. Whereas some of Farshim say, no, Chachamim Omrim Eino Ne'eman, they don't think the father's Ne'eman in any of these cases. Okay? Again, right, so anyway, there's a machloket there. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. Abba Shaul Hayakore the Shtuki Baduki. If you remember, we have this Shtuki. What's a Shtuki? It's a child, right? We're in the middle of discussing all these children born from problematic relationships or we don't know. So a Shtuki is someone who the mother, we know who the mother is, but we don't know who the father is. So Rabba Shaul would call a Shtuki a Baduki. So now we want to know, where does this Baduki obviously comes from? The word checking, to check up. So my Baduki. What does this mean? What is the checking? What's the checking going on here? Ile ma shebodkim et imo. If it means we check the mother and we say to the mother, okay, so nu, who's the father of this child? Ve'omeret l'kasher nivalti. So if you want to say shebodkim et imo, and then if she says l'kasher nivalti, she's ne'emenet, and that's Abba Shaul's chidush. What does it mean? Until now we said a shtuki is a problem. But maybe it's coming to teach us that shtuk is a problem until the mother actually tells us what the story is. If you remember yesterday, I mentioned this case about the DNA testing. And one of the things that particularly was bothersome about this case, there was a case that Seth was dealing with where there were these Russians who both came, they wanted to get married, and they both came from places where some people had been adopted. The adoption was common there. So the person said, you know, go, the rabbi from the rabbinical court said, you have to get a DNA test to prove that your mother's your mother. So one of the things that was particularly bothersome is no one bothered to interview the mother, right? The mother was living here. It wasn't like she was in Russia. She was here. And nobody bothered to say, let's bring in the mother and ask her. And so here you see that, okay, according to Rabban Gamliel, now this is a different case, but it's exactly the case. It's a shtuki case, right? They know the, it's not, because they don't even know for sure if it's the mother. That's what they were questioning anyway. They were, you know, they raised that as possibility. So anyway, Right here, okay, so you could make a distinction because there, right, I'm just kind of taking the concept and saying we should apply it, but they claim she's not even the mother. But still, you could have seen that questioning her would have been relevant. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's in the end what they did. They questioned the mother, and I don't remember if it was just on that that they relied, but they that was part of what went into it. So if you want to say Shabbat Kimet Imova Omeret Lekasher Nivalti Ne'emedet, and that's the Chiddush of Abba Shaul, yes, while that might be true, it's not valid to say that that would be his Chiddush. Why? Kiman ki Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel already said that. Somebody doesn't come in a Mishnah and say, oh, this is what I think, when someone else already said that. It's not the way the Mishnah works. So therefore, we say, Kiman ki Rabban Gamliel, and Tanina Chadazimna. We already learned that in a different Mishnah. So there's this concept, if something appears in one Mishnah, there's no reason to put it in another Mishnah. Ditznam, where do we see this opinion of Rabban Gamliel? Haitama uberet va'amrula mativo shel ubar zeh. She was pregnant, and they said to the mother, you know, where did this ubar come from? Amra lahem, me'ish ploni v'kohen hu. Okay, she says it was from so-and-so, and he's a kohen. Now, why does she say he's a kohen? She's trying to say he's got perfect lineage. You know, the kohanim have better lineage even than the Yisrael, because Yisrael, you can say, oh, who knows, but kohanim, they really kept track. So she was trying to say he's miyuchas. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, Amrim Ne'emenet. Okay, according to Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, they say, right, the assumption is we're talking about some single woman who got pregnant, okay, a teenage pregnancy or who knows what, you know, the way we would call a teenage pregnancy, or any woman marrying out of wedlock. She claims who it is. They say we believe her, so there's our halacha. So we have a Mishnah, no reason for Abba Shaul to say this here. Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, Lo. Lo mi pia anu chayim. Okay, Rabbi Yoshua disagrees here and says, we don't accept her testimony. Okay, that's not, right? She is obviously no gat badavar. You know, her testimony doesn't mean anything. But what's more important about this? The continuation. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. Okay, so if we know there's a Mishnah that says Rabban Gamliel, we know we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, that we trust the mother. So why would Abba Shaul need to tell us that the shtuki is a baduki, meaning we ask the mother, and if the mother says it's okay, then the shtuki's fine, and not a shtuki anymore. So now, the whole question is going to be, why do you need both the Mishnah with Rabban Gamliel and the Mishnah here with Abba Shaul? So now they say, chada lahakshir ba, v'chada lahakshir bibita. One is to say that she's good to marry, and one is to say even her daughter's good to marry. Okay? So now, in other words, you might say, So what does it mean, lahakshir ba? As our case was obviously meaning, now the daughter's going to be okay, because our mission is all talking about lineage. But when Rabban Gamliel was talking about, he could have been discussing if she was married, let's say she's a bat kohen. If she's a bat kohen and she sleeps with someone she's not supposed to be, right, who's not a kohen, so she can no longer eat truma. So what she was trying to say is, she can eat truma. It had nothing to do with the children. So one was relating to her in terms of eating truma, and the other was relating to her children. So Hani Chalamanda Amar Lidivrei Hamachshir Ba Posel Bebita. That only works if you say that we distinguish between those two issues. Understand? There's a machloket apparently. Are those interlinked? If you say that someone is kosher to eat truma from, you know, this relationship she had, does it mean also that her child is deemed to be kosher and valid and not one of these shtukis that we don't know or not? So if you say that just because you can eat truma doesn't mean that your daughter's okay, then we understand why we need two different mishnayot, one to teach you one and one to teach you the other. But ela lamanda amar l'divrei machshir ba machshir bebita Abba Shaul mayata lashminan. But if you assume that being kasher to eat truma would be equated with your daughter being kasher, well then this, you would know it from the first mishnah. You wouldn't need both. So again, we're left with, according to that reading anyway, what would Abba Shaul come to be teaching? De Abba Shaul adifa mi de Rabban Gamliel. De ime hatam, and Abba Shaul is adding more to Rabban Gamliel. Why? De ime hatam, hava amina hatam, de rov ksherim etzla. Aval hecha de rov psulim etzla, ema lo sricha. What do we say? You might have thought if you just have Rabban Gamliel that that would be a woman who most people who she sleeps around with are known to be ksherim. But if you have a situation where Rove Psula Metzla, now what would be the situation? It's not just, okay, well, let's see which kind of woman who's sleeping around and who she sleeps with. But if you have a woman who's not married, okay, so in that case, most men who sleep with her are considered kshirin, because the only problematic relationships are arayo, right? So the assumption is, if you take all the men in the world, right, most of them are not ishur arayo to her. But if you take a woman who's engaged, then rov psula metzla, because what happens when you get halachic engagement? You become forbidden to all the men in the world. So you might think that this whole halacha, that she's believed, is only if she says, only if she's not in a case of rov psulim, only if she's in a case of rov shem, because again, Jewish law always follows the majority. So comes Abishal to teach you, even if rov psulim, we still believe the woman. Okay? Right, Rov Psulim, by the way, could also be like a city where most people are mamzerim, something like that. Okay? It doesn't necessarily have to be that she's engaged. So, Amar Rava, Halachach Abba Shaul, and we paskin like Abba Shaul. So, not only do we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, we also paskin like Abba Shaul, and presumably according to this interpretation. New Mishnah. This Mishnah.
Doesn't raise any moral questions.
What kind of moral question about a woman?
You know, it's really implying that it's really okay for men to sleep around and stay kosher, or for women to sleep around.
You're saying the fact that we don't passel their children is saying that it's okay to do. Well, look, Jewish law definitely distinguishes between married women and non-married women in a very clear manner. You know, it's the main issues are really married women. It's not to say that it recommends you should, you know, be having not premarital sex, but and it's definitely forbidden, and there's all sorts of ramifications for various things. But when it comes to Isur Arayot and Karet and all these psule, remember the psule, the children of psulim are all, you know, Karet, Mita Beitim. We don't pass them like Rabbi Akiva. That's also Chayavei Lavim, and I think what's going on here is there's. Things are pulling in different directions, and this is what we've seen from the beginning of the parak and even a little before, which is that when it comes to mamzerut and making people forbidden to marry other people, on the one hand, they're using it as a tool to prevent people from doing things, which is exactly what you're saying, Naomi, which is, if we would call their kids mamzerim, it would decrease the amount of those situations happening. On the other hand, if we don't do that, and you know, if we do that, and we say, okay, so anyone like that, you're going to end up with way too many mamzerim. And there's the other thing pulling here is we don't want mamzerim because, first of all, what we saw already is once you have mamzerim, like, ein l'davar sof, it will go forever and you'll end up, you know, with also, it's almost like the problems nowadays. And it's what's going on with marriage in this country is, you know, the rabbanu wants to keep a hold because they're worried. If we don't keep a very strong hold, what's going to be, right? You'll never know the proper lineage of anybody. On the other hand, if you do that, then you're pushing people away and you're removing people entirely that aren't going to become part of the kila. So there's constantly this struggle. And it's really, like I said, the struggle that's going on nowadays. How much do you, you know, pull one way or pull the other way? And that way, there were some rabbis who were announcing, these people are all mamzerim and these people are all... And then there were other people who were like, you know, don't say anything. Like, keep it to yourself and you don't need to announce, you don't need to say, whatever, if we don't know, it won't... You know, but that's it's tricky, and you see all the approaches here. That's what's the interesting part, that there's a lot of different approaches, and okay, we're going to have a very complicated Mishnah right now. This is going to take us till the end of the day. I think it might even continue. Anyway, there's a Mishnah that's totally incomprehensible. So we're going to have different, right? Everyone's going to try to come up with their interpretation. Each one is going to obviously have problems. Kol hasurin lavo b'kahal mutarin lavo ze bazeh. Anyone who's forbidden to come b'kahal is allowed to marry each other. Okay, that seems pretty straightforward, but what's the problem with it? If you remember, the previous Mishnah basically said this. Right, exactly. We already saw this. Okay, the last Mishnah, which was, right, we happened to learn it a bunch of days ago, but it was the exact Mishnah that came right before this, which said, if you're a... Geire charure mamzeri nitine shuki basufi kulamu tarim lavo ze baze. Okay? All those people, right, they can each marry each other. So what's it saying here, right? Everyone who can't come b'kahal is mutar to marry each other. Rabbi Yehuda Oster, this is going to be the next problem. He forbids, okay? Now we're going to see, okay, the problem is going to be the next line, which is, seems like there's a three-way machloket. There's kol aserim lavo b'kahal mutarim lavo zeh b'zeh. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, I forbid it. Then comes Rabbi Eliezer, and he has a third opinion, which we're going to see in a minute. Sounds like if you had to say, what is Rabbi Yehuda oser, it must have been this, because what else could it be? So Rabbi Eliezer omer, vada'an bevada'an mutar. Okay, if you're vada'i good, and you're vada'i good, I'm sorry, if you're vada'i pasul, and you're vada'i pasul, like a mom's there, okay, as opposed to a shtukian or a sufi who's a safek, if you're vada'i bevada'i, you're mutar. Vade besfeikan, usfeikan bevadai, usfeikan besfeikan, asur. But if you are a vadai who wants to marry a sefik, okay, you're a mamzer who wants to marry a shtuki, or you're a, you know, you're a, or the reverse, it's the same thing, or sfeikan besfeikan, let's say you're a shtuki and a shtuki. Can a shtuki marry a shtuki? They're both sefik, okay? So according to this opinion, they're asur. The Elohena Sveikot, who are the Sveikot? Shtuki, Asufi, and here we have a new category, the Kuti. Okay, we're going to get to the Kutim later, what the issue with them is. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain, although we've seen this before, that they're the Shomronim, right, who came into the land. The Gemara will explain it. Okay, so first question. My Kol Aserin Lavo B'Kahal. Who are we referring to? Kol Aserin Lavo B'Kahal. Ile Ma Mamzere Unitine Shtuki Vasufi. If you're talking about those four, the Mamzerim, the Nitinim, the Shtuki, and the Asufi, Hatana Le Resha. It already says that in the previous Mishnah. Mamzere Unitine Shtuki Vasufi Mutarin Lavo Zebazeh. So, unnecessary. The two, and the second question is, Rabbi Yehuda Oser Ahaya, what is he referring to? Ile Ma Avadai B'Sfeikan, if you want to say he's Oser, the Vadai to marry the Sufik, Hamidikatani Sefa, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Vada Vadaam, Vadaam, Mutar, Vadaam, Svekan, 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 Asur, Michal to Rabbi Yehuda, Losfir Ale. It must be Rabbi Yehuda holds something different. So, it's difficult. So, let's suggest something. Vachitema, if you remember, when we say Vachitema, it always gets rejected, right? And if you want to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda Oser, when he says that, he's talking about Ager B'Mamzeret, he's talking about, ah, by the way, there's no word Ager. The word is, in Aramaic, ah means al with an ayin. On, he's talking about, is really what it means here. He's talking about a ger, the ger of a mamzeret. Okay, now I'm using a ger in the English. When he says osir, what's he talking about? A ger can't marry a mamzeret. Ah, we know that. Remember we saw that there was a homachloke. Can a ger marry a mamzeret? And Rabbi Yehuda himself was osir. So maybe... Right? That's what they're going to suggest. Now, maybe when it says Rabbi Yehuda Oser, it means in that machloket of a ger and a mamzer. Okay? And that he's saying, of all those people, though, a ger can't marry a mamzer. Midi ger b'mamzer katane? Kol aserin lavo b'kahal katane. If you want to suggest that that's a suggestion, well then, it should have said it, right? It just says Oser, very blanket statement. It never said anywhere that that was any subject of, right, happened to be one of the options of all the, but it wasn't even one of the options because we said it's called talking about the mamzer, the nitin, the shtuki, the asufi, not even the ger. So it seems like out of left field that that would be coming. Amar Rav Yehuda, hachi ka'amar. Rabbi Yehuda says this is how you read it. Okay, so here's interpretation number one. Okay, I believe that there's four on this page. We'll see. Amar Rav Yehuda, hachi kamar, kol ha'asurin lavo b'kahal kehuna. Ah, it's not asurin lavo b'kahal. It's talking about those who asurin lavo b'kahal kehuna. Okay, into a kila of kohanim. Okay, so now, meaning whoever can marry a kohen. And my ninhu. And then, mutarin lavo zeh bazeh. So now, what are we saying here? Anyone who can't marry a kohen, like for example, a giyoret who's from birth, okay, she was converted from birth, and this would have to hold, we'll see in a minute why we'd have to say, okay, there's two types of giyoret in halacha. There's a giyoret under age three, and there's a giyoret, right, over age three. Am I doing this right? No, it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. Over age three? Under age three? Okay. So, I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Doesn't matter. So now you have Gioret under age three. What's the issue with three? At age three, you potentially can have sexual relations, right? As difficult as that whole issue is that we discussed back in, I guess, in Yevamot, or Tubot. Tubot, probably. So now you have this girl under age three. When it comes to over age three, clearly she can't marry Cohen because of Zona. Right? There's an issue. He can't marry a Zona. And there's an assumption that if she was non-Jewish and over age 3, chances are somebody slept with her. You know, a non-Jew slept with her, in which case she'd be called a halachic Zona. And then can't marry a Kohen. She's under age 3, well then, she certainly can't be called a Zona. But some people say that she's still, there's one opinion that holds, she still can't marry a Kohen, even if she's a Giora from birth. And that is against Rabbi Yishima Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yishima Bar Yochai holds it has to be over age 3 to be a problem. According to the people who disagree with him, even from birth, she cannot marry a Kohen. And that could be part of this concept of she's not Bekal Hashem, right? A ger, we already learned. No matter when you write, the whole issue about a ger not marrying certain people or being allowed to marry a mamzer is because we said a ger is not considered Bekal Hashem, and that would maybe be problematic for a Kohen. Okay? Some people even connect that with Zona somehow, but we'll leave it aside. So now, let's go back to the top of the page. So, Kol Asurin Lavo Bekahal Kehuna, and who would that be? It would include the Giyorah Pkutami Bat Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad. Okay, and now that would be only according not to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And then what's the chidush? That mutarin lavo zebazeh. Okay? So now they say, but wait, I don't understand. Why do you have to say that it's just Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Okay? V'nukma bebat shalosh shanim v'yom echad. V'afilu l'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? Why don't you say that it was referring to dafka giyor at over age 3? And it would work with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So they say, imken mitzida tavra. If you say that, right next to it lies the tavra is tap and shin switch, shavra. In other words, I can knock it down in a second. In other words, once you say that, you're gonna create a different problem. So there, what's gonna be the problem? Elatama debat shalosh shanim v'yom echad. Now remember what the Mishnah says. They're mutarin lavo ze baze, right? And that's anyone, according to this, anyone who can't marry a Kohen, right? What are we going to say now? Would be allowed to marry all the other psulim. So now, elatama debat shalosh shanim v'yom echad. What would you assume then? Hapchutami bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad. Dimuteret lavo bekal kuna. Asura lavo ze baze. What's the assumption here? There's a flip side, right? If you can marry a Kohen, so according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what would happen? If you're above age 3, then you're a Giyoret, right? A problematic Giyoret who can't marry a Kohen. Well, if you're a problematic Giyoret who can't marry a Kohen, what are we going to say about you according to this Mishnah? You're allowed to marry a Mamzer, right? Which is fine, because anyway, we learned that Ger can marry a Mamzer. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda is going to come in and be Oser, because he thinks that Ger can't marry a Mamzer. But let's say you're under 3, according to this Mishnah, right? If the Mishnah is talking about over 3, then what's the assumption about the under 3? The under 3 can marry a Kohen, but can't marry a Mamzer, and that's not true. Well, this whole conversation about Geirim, we never talked about over 3, under 3. That all has to do with the Kohen issue. So that's why it can't be over 3, and just according to Rosh Hashim Bar Yochai, you'd have to say that it's under 3, and it's a leave it to the opinion against Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Otherwise, the mission wouldn't make any sense, because the assumption from that would be that under 3 she'd be allowed, she'd be forbidden to marry a mamzer, right? She'd be Bikal Hashem. And we know that Gerim were not Bikal Hashem, no matter what age they converted, according, again, to those who say a ger can't marry a mamzer. A ger can marry a mamzer. Okay, so now, so now they're going to say, I'll just keep reading it. Harei pchutami bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad l'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai timuteret lavo b'kal kuna umuteret lavo ze bazeh. Right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would agree that she's allowed to marry a mamzer, so that way of reading it wouldn't work. Uklalahu, and it's a klal. Dekol asurin lavo b'kal kuna muter. Oh, sorry, there's a question now. So now, again, how do we read the Mishnah now? So let's go back. We read the Mishnah to say, Kol Asurin Lavo B'Kal Kihuna. We add that word Kihuna that didn't exist in the Mishnah. And what do we mean? We mean not according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? You can see already this is getting complicated. And we mean, right, so, and we're referring to specifically, or at least the Chidush here is, the Giyoret from 3 and up. So now they're going to say, Uklalahu, is it really a Klal? The Kol Asurin Lavo B'Kal Kihuna Mutarin Lavo Zeh Bazeh? Is that true? Of course it's not true. Hare almana ugrusha v'chalala v'zona da'asurin lavo b'kal kuna v'asurin lavo ze bazeh. Right? The almana, the grusha, the chalala, all those people can't marry a Kohen. Right? They're all included in this kol asurin lavo B'kal kuna. And then what does the Mishnah say? They're mutarin to marry the mamzer, the natin, the shtuki, the asufi. And of course they're not, right? They're regular Yisraeliot. They just have a problem when it comes to kahuna, but they're certainly not allowed to marry a mamzer. Okay. Vitu. Vitu. Hamutar. Asur. Right. And those, and let's take the flip. If you're going to say those who are mutar are now asur, and as those who can marry kohen are asur to marry the mamzer, bare ger shemutar b'kohenet umutar b'mamzeret. Here you have, now we're going to, at this point, we're going to say the kohen includes a bat kohen. And what do you know about a bat kohen? She's allowed to marry a ger. And the ger can marry the bat kohen, so she can marry, the ger can marry into kahuna, but, and yet, he could also marry a mamzer. So that also doesn't work. Ella, okay, so therefore, this doesn't work. Ella, Amarav Natan Bar Hoshaya, Hachi Kamar. So that was explanation number one, which clearly had a lot of problems to it. Explanation number two. Hachi Kamar. Kol Kohen Asur Lisa Ed Bito. Umay Nihu. Ger Shanasa, sorry, Kol Shek Kohen Asur Lisa Ed Bito. In any situation where a Kohen can't marry a person's daughter. And who would this be? Okay, now we're going to learn a new halacha that we didn't know. Ger shenasa giyoret u'kirav Elezer ben Yaakov. Okay, there's a unique halacha of Rav Elezer ben Yaakov that if a ger marries a giyoret, okay, two converts marry each other, right? What did we say until now? The ger doesn't go down generations unless it's a ger mitzri or a ger amoni. But a ger who marries a giyoret, according to Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, goes down a generation. Okay? Ukar Elezer ben Yaakov, and the assumption of Rav Elezer ben Yaakov is, well, the fact that it's got blood of Yisrael, that already brings it to Kal Hashem. He says, well, so therefore, if that's the case, right, then a ger and a giyoret, their kid is not going to be B'Kal Hashem. So, Ukar Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, so now what do we learn about this ger shenasa giyoret? Mutarin levo zebazeh. Okay, so now we're going to see. So it doesn't mean, right now we're taking this thing, this cholesterol lavo b'kal kuhuna, but it's talking about an additional, right, not a unique aspect of it. The aspect of a gershon asagi yored, and it's coming to teach you really the halacha of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So then they say, uklalahu, dekol shekohen asur lisat bito mutarin lavo zebazeh. If a kohen can't marry this person's daughter, then they're allowed to intermarry with the mom's ear and the natin and all that, right? So this gershon asagiyoret, right? Their child can now marry the mom's ear and all those people. So now, what's going to be the problem? How could you make a klal out of this? It's not true. Hare chalal shenasa bat Yisrael. What do we know about a chalal? What do we learn? It goes to the son, right? But if a chalal marries a bat Yisrael, dekoin asur lisa bito, right? So the daughter of a chalal is a chalala. Right? A halal, someone who's not allowed to marry a grusha, marries a grusha, and they have a child, that daughter is called a halala. And the Kohen can't marry his daughter, right? So you have a halal, or let's say a son was born from that relationship, he's called a halal, he marries, right? He passes it on to his daughter. So now she can't marry a Kohen. Vasurim nami lavo zebaze. But they're also, that halala can't marry a mamzer. So again, you have this problem that case that we suggested, according to Rav Elezer ben Yaakov, that we're talking about, kol shekohen asur lisat bito, okay, wouldn't work either, according to this klal. So they say, oh no, lo kashya, ki Rabbi Dostai ben Yehuda. Okay, Rabbi Dostai ben Yehuda had a unique opinion that what? The Benot Yisrael do not become halalot. Do you remember this daughter of a halal is not a halala? He only passes it on to his sons and not his daughters, okay? So, in other words, it's the case of if a Kohen marries a Grusha, then their daughter's going to be a Halala, okay? But if they had a son and the son's a Halal and he has children, he passes it on to the sons only, not to the daughters, okay? So, okay, therefore.
How about at the first level? A Kohen who marries a Grusha.
So then the daughter's a Halala. Otherwise, there would be no case of a Halala. Oh, wait a minute. No, there is, because the woman herself becomes a halala. No. No, because a Kohen is forbidden to marry a halala. Right. Who would be a halala if not that? Right. So the daughter is a halala. It would have to be the next generation. So, So therefore, that wouldn't, you know, that was, we were trying to use that as our exception to the rule, but that case isn't even an exception. According to Rabbi Dosai, that case doesn't exist. She's not even called a halala in that case.
Did you say okay? She passes it down to the generation after her?
So there's a machloket about it, about whether she does or not.
But he does.
He does, yes. It goes. He passes it on to his sons, not to his daughters. Okay?
His sons are never kohanim, ever.
Right. The daughter definitely can't pass it down. But can the son pass it down to daughters? In other words, the son, it keeps going down. So you could be a fifth generation halal, but you only pass it on to your sons, according to Rabbi Dosai. You don't pass it on to your daughters. Your daughters are not considered halalot. Your sons are considered halalim.
And the ramification of that
is that
he can't marry?
He can marry anyone he wants. But he can't be a Kohen. He can't function as a Kohen. And he passed it on to his children. She can't marry a Kohen. Right? She's not allowed to. Right. Any Kohen can't marry her. Right. And then it's gone after that. Okay? According to Rabbi Dosai. I think according to the other opinion, it might continue. Right? Tana Didan. It's really the Tana Didan. Amar Ben Israel Mekbet Ara Lechalim. Right. Okay.
So all the sons of the sons of the sons forever?
Yeah.
We'll never be Kohanim.
Right.
What? We'll never be Kohanim.
Right, we'll never be Kohanim. I believe that that's the case. We saw Machloket about it a few dapim ago. I'm not remembering all the details, but okay. So now, I mean, we saw this Machloket. It comes up. We can take a look on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. It came up. Let's see if we can quickly find it. We're getting late.
Okay, right. It doesn't say too much here. Okay. But, right. We're going to get to it on Ayin Zayin again. So, okay, we'll deal with it when we get there. Okay. Bahare, halal shanasa halala. The Kohen Asur Lisabito, Vasur Nami Lavo Zebazet. So now we're still going to have questions. Here's another case. A halal marries a halala, and that's a case where a Kohen Asur Lisabito, because then clearly, right, so a halal meets a halala, they get married, they have children. In that case, the Kohen's going to be forbidden to marry the daughter, right? But obviously, right, they're Asur Nami Lavo Zebazet, right? They can't, that daughter can't marry a mom's heir. Okay, Vitu, Ha Mutar, Asur, Vahare Gershon Asa Ba Israel the Kohen, Mutar Li Sabito, Mutarin Lavo Zebazet. Right? And if you have a ger, okay, if you're going to say whoever's Mutar to marry the Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, right? If the daughter of this person can marry a Kohen, then what does that mean about you? You're going to be forbidden to marry a Mamzer. But what's a case where your daughter can marry a Kohen, but you're allowed to marry a Mamzer? A ger. A ger's child, a ger shenasa ba Yisrael, who marries a Yisrael, right? And a kohen mutar li sabito. A kohen's allowed to marry their child. And yet, that ger himself is mutar lavo zebazet. He's allowed to marry the mamzer. So it also doesn't work. Okay, so this interpretation also didn't work. So that was number two. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, hacha mamzer me'achoto u'mamzer me'eshet ish ikabenayu. The machloket in our Mishnah between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda depends on these two cases. What do these two cases typify? A mamzer me'achoto is isor karet, meaning if you sleep with your sister, and a mamzer me'esh adish is mito beitin. And now we're going to basically say that we're distinguishing between a mamzer from mito, like a child born from a union of a mita beitin araya, and one from a karet one. Okay, until now we kind of equated them, although we've seen this machloket in the famous machloket, which we're going to see quoted here, of Rabbi Akiva, who says, even chayve lavim or mamzerim, there was a machloket about whether it applies to mito beitin, or to karet, or to chayve lavim. So, that's the machloket. Tanakama savar afilu mamzer me'achoto, even chayve karet, nami have mamzer. For Rabbi Yehuda savar, me'eshet ish have mamzer me'achoto lo have mamzer. Mito beitin is the highest level. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mito Beitin is the only case where your child's a mamzer. Okay? If it's achoto and it's just karet, okay, just karet, but yeah, okay, if it's just karet, then it's not a mamzer. Okay? And that's the machloket. So now, if you say that's the case, what's going to be the obvious problem here? The same problem we had earlier, which is earlier in the daf about a different case. My kamashmalan, Tanina.
What do you mean? We already have an explicit Mishnah that says that that's their, there's a machloket about this. What's the machloket here? Ezehu mamzer. Here's the Mishnah I said the thing I said we were going to reference that we've seen before. Ezehu mamzer. Kol shehu below yavot divrei Rabbi Akiva. Anyone you can't marry, at least, right? At least lav. Forget about ase, but lavin, right? Remember, there was a whole machloket. Does he include even chai ve'ase, right? And which ones is he? There was a whole machloket about him. We saw a few dapim ago. But now he says, anyone you can't marry, child's mom's there. Okay, that goes with Naomi's approach, right? If it's forbidden, right? Of course, he wouldn't include the penuya. Even Rabbi Kiva wouldn't include the penuya. But it's having a more global approach. Let's include more isurim. Shimon hatimni omer, kol shechayvim alav karei pidei shamayim. Just karei. The halacha kidvarav. Rabbi Yoshua omer, it's karei and mita beitin. Rabbi Yoshua omer, kol shechayvim alav mita beitin. Okay? So now, that's the next approach. Okay, we're going to stop here and we'll pick up from El Amar Rava. Rava's going to bring up something else. Okay, so according to this, the Mishnah is trying to say that the topic is who's a mamzer, okay? Is it kritot? Is it mito beitin? But we reject it because we already have a Mishnah that says that. So we brought up three interpretations and we've rejected them all. This at least had less questions than the other, although I think it's just the question was so obvious that if this was the machloket, well, it says it elsewhere and there was no point to basically mention it. So Rav is going to bring a new interpretation tomorrow.